Good morning. Everybody awake this morning? Boy, it is good to be in God's house this morning. Good to see y'all smiling faces, too, looking back at me. I got a question for y'all this morning. It's something that I deal with on a daily basis and have been for a long time. From one day to the next, how well do you remember things? Hey, buddy, it's rough, isn't it? Seems like the older I get, the worse I forget what I need to remember. Am I alone or are y'all the same way? It just seems like, you know, if I have so many things that are going on, all the things I want to do, I have to write them down. All the things my wife wants me to do, I for sure want to write them down. I don't want to forget those. You know, I want to write down when I want to do something for someone else or I have done something for some. Not so much when I've done something for someone, but when they've done something for me. I try to write it down so I can remember if I've got something that I just can't get planned out, I plan it out and try to say, you know, before the month is over, I need to do this. I make these little notes to myself. And I have a daily planner. Boy, I tell you what, I used to have one at work, and I said, I'll never have one of those again. I hated it. It was kind of like having a, y'all know what a beeper is? Y'all remember then? Ooh, boy, I hated that little devil. It was about this big. It started out big. I had a big one when they first came out, and then they just kept getting smaller and smaller till they got to be little bitty. And I was tied to that thing. It was kind of like a rope, wasn't it? Or like a chain. You could, no matter how far out you went, that little devil could find you. And it just, I mean, when it went off, you just get this sick feeling in your stomach like, oh, no. They don't beat that thing unless there's something wrong. But, you know, as we go through our daily lives, there's things that we should remember, things that we shouldn't forget. You know, we're so quick to forget God's blessings on our life, aren't we? The things that He does for us on a daily basis, the things that, you know, you look and you go, man, I tell you, one thing happens and we forget everything that God has ever done for us. We're in the midst of trouble or something that's gone wrong, and we automatically go, God, what are you doing? What's going on? And we forget how He has brought us through so many different trials and so many different tribulations and so many problems, and we're still alive and we're still healthy. Everything's still going good. We're still here, but we're quick to forget. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Even the Israelites, God's chosen people, hear these folks, they were in slavery. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. They were being beaten every day, having to make, they wanted them to make hay, okay? Or really, they made the hay, and then they had to cut the hay, and they had to put mud with it and make bricks and mortar and stuff so that they could build a building or a pyramid or whatever the Pharaoh wanted them to build. And he was just constantly whipping them and beating them, and they lived under this depression, this total sick feeling every day of getting up, and they know that their day is going to be like. That they actually lived in a living hell day in and day out. And God, they started praying, God help us. And God heard their prayer, and they sent this guy, Moses, to go help deliver them out of Egypt. Sure enough, Moses went down. God did all these miracles to show the Egyptians God's power and to get the Israelites, you know, the Israel, out of their country and send them to the promised land. They hadn't no more got across, God opened up the Red Sea. They hadn't no more got across and saw God had crushed their enemy in the Red Sea, and what did they do? They immediately, I'm talking about not after a while, but they immediately forgot what God had just done for them and said, hey, let's make us an idol. that we can worship. Short, short memory. What God does for us. Here God, not only did He open up the Red Sea for them to cross, He also opened up the Jordan River for them to cross. And I guess God said, you know what, y'all got such short memory. I want you to take some guys and I want you to take a rock out of the riverbed while it's still dry. Everyone, pick 12 guys. I want you to take this rock out of the riverbed and I want you to stack it up where y'all sleep tonight. 12 stones. I thought, man, why would He do that? It was a monument for them to remember what God had just did for them. So when their kids grow up and said, hey, Dad, what's those rocks there for? The dad couldn't say, well, I guess he could. As short as our memory is, he said, that's when we came across the dry riverbed of the Jordan River and we took those stones out of the middle. How God delivered us and brought us into the promised land. He protected them. He fed them every single day. He took care of them. But they were so fast to turn their backs on God. You know, we as Christians are exactly the same way. Aren't we? Are we any different? How God blesses us each and every day? You know, here in America, we are still the most blessed country in the world. We have more of everything. When we pray for our daily bread, I almost snicker because usually we've got more food. Our daily bread can last for a month or two. We have enough food to feed us for a month sometimes or weeks. We have such an abundance. We have more clothes than we can wear in one day, don't we? Shoot, just think about the shoes. I shouldn't even go into shoes, should I? Here we go. Women's shoes. You could outfit a store. You know, all your neighbors could have shoes. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Anyway. The very nation, though, that God built here in America, here we are, we've been whittled and chipped day by day, year by year, until here we are, and we're now considered a godless nation. Here we are telling other countries, you know, about how they should treat homosexuals. Our country is sick, isn't it? Under God we trust. All this stuff is being taken out a little at a time. America has forgotten God. They have forgotten what God has done for this country, the blessings that He has given us each and every day. And we are no different as believers. I thought, well, at least, you know, we're, as Christians, we're above that. We still remember God. We still remember what God's done for us. But have we? I know I have forgotten a lot of things. Even when I write them down, I forget them, what God does for me on a daily basis. But God says that we are taking Him for granted here in this country. You know, we've kind of come, we're not really cold and we're not really hot for God. We're lukewarm. In Revelations 3:15 through 17, get your Bibles and look at this right quick. I want to read you something that God says, talks about this being lukewarm, about not being hot for Him or cold for Him. It's 3:15 through 17. This is Jesus talking. It says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is a letter that was written to the church in Laodicea. A message that Jesus himself was telling to the church, that a church that wasn't on fire for God anymore. They were either doing one of two things. They either were serving half-heartedly or they weren't serving at all in God's kingdom. And God said, I wish you were one or the other. I wish you was either, you just didn't go for me, you didn't work for me, or I wish you were just on fire, ablaze for me. And not, in verse 19, he says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. In 20, he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door and I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. Anyone who hears, has ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. He's talking to us this morning, y'all. He's talking about the churches in America. He's talking about Common Ground Cowboy Church. He's saying, look, where are you? How come I'm not your first love anymore? How come you're not telling folks about me? You know, it's summertime, and I know we're always down in the summertime. It's like I was talking to a pastor about it yesterday. He said, yeah, he said, you may be running 150, 200. He said, but in the summertime, when vacation starts, he said, you know, you drop down to, you'll lose a third of your congregation. And we were talking about it, and I said, yeah. I said, well, it's the only time they got really to take their vacations and be with their family. And he said, but, you know, what's bad is when summertime hits, it's not just the ones that are going on vacation, but it's the ones that go, well, you know, it's just such a pretty day. I think I'm just going to stay home. We forget about God. We forget about His church. We forget about coming and meeting together as believers. He's speaking to us this morning. He's saying, are you hearing me? Do you have ears? How many's got ears this morning? I don't want to take that for granted. Some of you may or some of you may not. Everybody's got an ear? Everybody's got at least one. I got two, but I can only hear out of one. So you all at least have one ear, good ear you can hear out of, right? So God is saying, if you have an ear, listen to what I'm saying. Don't just sit there, listen. I'm telling you something that's very important, and I don't want you to forget it. This is the Lord God Himself saying this. Listen, we are so wrapped up in our own lives that we are not serving God like we should. I know there's some of you sitting there going, you know, that's not true. I really work hard for the Lord all the time. Every single day, I'm always doing something for the Lord. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always putting Him first in my life, and I'm putting myself second. That's not me saying that. I promise you. Even as pastor, I let things get in the way of my serving God. I have to constantly, every single day, be reminded, every morning, every time it gets noontime, every time it's in the evening, I constantly have to remind myself what I should be doing, what I should be thinking, because I'm easily distracted. I don't have, what's that, it's a bad disease. What, ADHD? I don't have that, but I'm so dang close to it, y'all. I'm telling you. I have a buddy that's a pastor, and I mean, if you just mention, we kidded him about it. If you say squirrel, he could be right in the middle of a message and a baby say something, and he is completely lost. He just, the slate is clean, you know, the light is on, but there's nobody in there. The thought process is gone. He says, I can't think for some reason. He almost has to start all over again. I'm not that bad, but I'm close. But God says, if you can hear me, I'm coming back soon. Where are you at? Where are my workers? The field is white out there. Does anybody know what that means? The field is white. Now, we don't have a lot of farmers out here. We got mostly ranchers, right? But when the field is white, that means it's ready to harvest. It's ready to be done. Let's put it this way. When your hay gets a certain height, then it's that time, and you're looking at it, you're going, I need to cut that hay before it gets too tall. While it's got the best nutrients in it, when it's at its peak, I got to cut it, and then I got to bale it. That's harvesting your hay. Harvesting is he's talking about here, when he says the field is white, he's talking about there's folks out here in this area that need me. Not me. They need God. They need me. They need me bad. They're trying to live a life on this earth without me, without my help. How many of you would like to go back to not having Jesus in your life and salvation and having to do everything on your own power every single day? I sure wouldn't. Going through death of a family member by yourself without Christ. Going through and trying to be the right kind of husband or right kind of wife without Christ in your life and Him being centered in your life. Just think about if we just pick the marriage. I know none of y'all fight as husband and wife, right? You never say harsh words to each other. Y'all are just so lovey-dovey, right? Even when things are going good, y'all, when we are so blessed, who is the one that we let into? Our yeah, point it to her. No, we don't just pick on you. We don't just pick on you, Carol. But we do. We pick on our wife or we pick on our husband. It's because why? They have to take it. Yeah. They really don't, but I mean, you know, that's the way you think. You know, I'm just being me. I'm just being real. You know, and they love me for what I am, even when I'm hateful. You know, it's a whole lot easier to love my wife when she's sweet, which she is all the time, but I'm not. So she has to put up with this knucklehead. So I know that some of your wives are out, some of you women out there are going, boy, I got one of them knuckleheads too. And you husbands are going, hey, I'm not even going to go there. But we have forgotten the reason that we put up with each other is because we love each other. It's because we are human, we love each other, and we want the best for each other. And we've made a commitment to love each other and take care of each other and be there for them all the time. You know, when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we made a commitment too. Jesus said, I paid a price for your salvation so that you would not have to go to hell. I paid a price, and it was a high price I had to pay. I had to pay with my life. And not only did I just have to die, But I had to be separated from the most important person in my life. And that's my father. Someone that I love without condition, without any, just absolutely, I love him unconditionally no matter what. But when Jesus went on the cross to die for our sins, God had to turn his back on him. That was the pain, that all the whipping that Jesus had to go through, all the beatings he took, was bad. But that's the one that left the hardest mark on his life. That was the hardest thing for him to do, knowing that he was going to be separated from his father that he loved. Where are my workers? Where are the trusted ones that I have called? Have you forgotten your first love, me? Be on fire for me. Live for me, not yourselves. We actually belong to God. If we live our lives day in and day out just for ourselves, what kind of servants are we? You know, in the old times, if you were a servant and you had a master, what do you think would happen to a servant if all he did was lay around all day? Ooh, not good. The master said, hey, I need you to go out and do this work. And the guy goes, well, you know, I thought I'd just do what I want to do today. I think I'll just do what I want to do this week. I have plans. Anybody ever make plans? Boy, I try to. I try to make plans. We plan out our lives. We plan out our day. We plan out everything we're going to do without consulting the master. Well, that's the way it was in the old times when there was master and slave. That slave didn't say, hey, I've got this day planned out for me tomorrow. What do you think? Master goes, you're nuts. That's what you are. You're crazy. This is what I want you to do. I have a plan. It's my plan to make, not yours. So here's what I want you to do today. Where are my workers? Where are you at? Have you forgotten me? I have paid a high price for your life. We do belong to God. Those that have ears, and we've all heard this morning, every one of you said you've got an ear, at least one to hear. Turn around and follow me. Because I love you. And he wants the best, the very best for us. That's the number one thing that keeps people from coming to Christ, is because they think, you know what? What if I don't like the Christian life? What if I don't like what God wants for me? What if I don't like what God wants me to do? What do I do then? It's kind of like a father and son relationship where the son says, Father, I want a fish. And the father goes, here's a snake, son. Instead, no, he loves him, so he's going to give him a fish to eat. God loves us so much that he wants the very, very, very best. Not second best, but first for each and everything in our life, in every area. And he only asked for one thing, love me and serve me. And I will take care of every single one of your needs, no matter what it is. I used to think that God could handle just certain things, but there were some things that God couldn't handle, like money. That when things got tight, and I'd say, you know what? I'd want to trust God. I'd want to believe that he would meet every need. And I'd say, okay, I know I've got this bill coming up and I don't have the money. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to test God. I've done it, y'all. I said, I'm going to test God and I'm going to pray that he provide that money. Guess what? I got a check in the mail. And it was always either from an insurance company that I totally forgot about, or some plan I was at with the railroad or something. But God always met that need. And it every single time, though, it shouldn't have, but it just floored me. I was so excited, but only for a short time. Because I keep forgetting. The next day I'd forget what God did for me yesterday or the day before. What have you forgotten this morning that God has done for you? What has God done for you this past month, this year, that you have forgotten about? Ask Him to remind you. He will, I promise you. He is steadfast. He will do it. If you have ears to hear, come back to me because I love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning saying, Lord, that we do have ears and we do hear you, Lord, that we do love you. Father, what is it that you want us to do this morning? I sure don't know. Father, I just know that we have a task to perform at Common Ground. You have a job for each and every one of us. You have a job for me. You have a job for others. I just pray, Lord, that we would seek you out and see what it is, Lord, that we can do for you. You're constantly, every single moment, doing something for us. What can we do for you? That's the question this morning. I pray, Father, you'd reveal it to us, that we would be not only glad to do it, Father, but we would be ecstatically happy, almost giddy, to be able to serve you. Just thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us through our families, our jobs, our marriages, everything that we have, Lord. We can only give thanks to you because it's nothing to do with us, but it has everything to do with the rich blessings that flow out of you and the grace you have for us. We just thank you for this beautiful day. No one would leave here, Father, without knowing you this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, your Son. Amen. We got another beautiful day today. We got things to do. We've got hay to get up. Maybe everybody's got their hay cut. Maybe they don't. You got horses to ride. You got cattle to look at. You've got all these things to do. Air conditioners to fix. Anything. I don't know what you got going on today, but make time for God to hear me. God's saying, listen and hear me. Like if you're visiting here this morning and you look for a church home,